Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. It's a pleasure to introduce my next guest. James Brox is a professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Waterloo. Welcome, Dr. Brox.
It's good to speak to you.
In your study, you examine the so-called infrastructure gap and its adverse impact on Canadian manufacturing costs and productivity. Can you elaborate on the magnitude of the gap and how it affects competitiveness?
Well, there's a number of ways of measuring the potential infrastructure gap. In my study, I point out that the sort of best way of measuring it would result in a deficit of about $200 billion currently. And this is made up both of required new investments in different types of infrastructure or expansion of existing infrastructure, but also, very importantly, including repairs to existing infrastructure to make sure that it continues to operate effectively. How it affects competitiveness? Well, manufacturing firms and other firms as well use public capital as part of their input process, and if there isn't sufficient public capital, then more private resources are required to produce the same amount of output.
Dr. Brox, Canadians were horrified by the tragic collapse of the Boulevard de la Concorde overpass in Laval and the contamination of the water supply in Walkerton, both of which resulted in deaths. If our roads, ports, and sewers continue to fall apart, could another tragedy be next? And if so, what can be done in terms of prevention?
Well, the fact that these two examples have occurred certainly indicates that other possibilities are out there. Again, this goes back to the point I made just a minute ago that repairing the current infrastructure is as important as investing in new projects. We need constant inspection and vigilance to make sure that our existing infrastructure is working the way it should.
And have we learned anything from the overpass collapse or the Walkerton tragedy? Do you think there's been a change?
We have definitely learned some things. Have we learned enough? I think that remains to be seen. I hope we have, but I have some concerns that the amount of infrastructure repairs that have been announced may not be sufficient to do the job.
In your study, you call the current response of the government inadequate. How so?
Well, the amount that the provincial and federal governments have announced would be less than half of what I estimate is required to meet the need. So that clearly indicates that the response in total is not optimal.
In your view, which level of government should be responsible for building and maintaining our public infrastructure?
Well, this is one of the major problems, of course, because politically, we've decided that the best place to make decisions on infrastructure requirements is at the local or municipal level of government. And there is some sense to this. The local authorities know what the local needs are, can assess the local willingness to pay, and decide how much of what type of infrastructure to provide. The problem that has occurred over the past number of decades is that the local expenditure requirements have far exceeded the local revenue base. And with local revenues coming largely from property taxes, it's very difficult to raise enough money to actually fund the level of projects that are required. So the local governments decide how much infrastructure they need. They then have to go to the provinces or to the federal government and beg for the amount of money. And there's no automatic mechanism to say that the right amounts will be forthcoming to fund the projects that the local governments have decided are essential.
Ottawa and several provincial governments have already committed considerable sums of money in the coming years to build and maintain infrastructure. What effect do you think this is likely to have on manufacturing costs?
Well, my study indicates that providing proper government infrastructure lowers the private manufacturing cost. A 10% increase in government infrastructure is estimated to result in a 5% reduction in manufacturing costs and therefore increased productivity in the manufacturing sector.
And are you're calling for an investment of up to $200 billion, is that right?
Yes, including the new projects that are required plus the repairs to the existing infrastructure.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Please stand by.